Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 43. Beyond illusion, the truth is that the cosmic manifestation is not a material product. It is produced from the Brahma Jyoti, like vegetation is produced from soil, with Brahma acting as gardener. Right, so this is a very nice summary of how the whole thing works out. Because it's why we call it the material world is because of our view of it. Not of what it actually is. Just like the mother of the child, when she's talking to the child about her husband, what does she call the husband?
Father.
Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's why we call the material world the material world. Because it's not actually. But that's how we see it, how we deal with it. So that's why it's labeled that way. Actually, it's Brahma. Right? And then there's temporary manifestations that come from it, just like you have the soil, and then temporary manifestations come from that soil by the gardener's, involvement. Does that make sense? So the plants come up, then they go, then they come, and they go, but the soil stays, right? Gardeners may even come and go, the soil still stays. Yes.
So using the same logic, can we say that devotional service, it's not how we view it, but it's a thing on its own?
Yes. Because sometimes we'll take it and take devotional service and put it into our context. Let's say, so this festival, without organization, it doesn't happen. Therefore, then the management of the festival is the most important service. Therefore, I'm doing that. Therefore, I'm the most important devotee. Right? And he's thinking that. Next to him is standing another devotee who's thinking, this whole festival, to fight whatever's going on, without money, it's not happening. And I provided the money, so that's the most important. I'm the most important devotee. Right? And then the other one is sitting there and thinking, well, if I didn't, sit there and bang all the nails and put the cart together, there wouldn't be a festival, so I'm the most important devotee. You know what I'm saying? And then the other one, he's down there sitting in the police commissioner's office getting the permissions for the route of the festival, and he's thinking, if I didn't do this, then, nothing happens, and so they're... So like that. That's the whole thing, is that view is there, and we don't have a problem that the view is there, because we're individuals, and the point of individuality and relationships is fine. The difficulty comes up is pride, because as we saw, then Vishwanath is pointing out that pride is the beginning of sinful mentality and acts. If there's pride, then one gets interested in women and intoxication. There's no pride, right? The guy who has no self-esteem, he's not the one down at the bar. He's not the one trying to pick up the girls. He's not the one thinking, yes, I'll walk over to her and say, will you marry me? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the whole thing is unless there's confidence, then you can't do anything. So now when it's pride, then that's where it becomes sinful. If it's not pride, but confidence is there, then one does it nicely. One deals with women nicely. One doesn't need the intoxication, so everything works well. So that's the difficulty, is that when pride comes in, then it gets ruined. So dealing with the material world is not the problem. It's the pride that comes because we think we're the controller and enjoyer. Mm-hmm. Therefore, then the mundane perspective, like that. It's like if we're taking extremes, you don't get any more of an extreme than the most small of living entities thinking that they are the unlimited supreme lord. You don't get more of a contradiction than that. That's as good as it gets. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, say, you know, Sridham is boasting, yes, you know, I'm, you know, more powerful than Krishna, you know, well, in this wrestling match, I'll beat him, you'll see, like that. So, you know, one is rasa, but two from tattva, he is internal potency. So he's not so far. He has a presence because, and every manifestation of the pastime, then Radharani has a brother, and the brother is Sridham. So then he's there in all these so many unlimited pastimes. You know, we're a jiva, we're generally in one. You know, unless by the Lord's grace we're one of those ones like Rupa or that one, which will be in more. Does that make sense? So it's like the, you could say, the perfection of pride. Yes.
I think in Torah it's mentioned that God created all living entities.
Yes.
And then he created humans.
Right.
Then they won't become proud, but still it happens.
And then they're last.
Last?
Yeah.
I mean, still they're proud.
Proud, yeah, not yeah.
Least.
Yeah, but then if you take that a step further, then there's the rib. And that controls the whole thing. Yes. Yeah, so. God knew what was happening. Okay. Yes. Okay. 13. In this purport to verse 11, Srila Prabhupada nicely sums up how the Supreme Lord empowers Brahmaji to serve him as the secondary creator. See, because Krishna has no difficulty that the living entity is superior to him in the way of interaction. That's the whole principle. In tattva, they're junior. Right? It means his whole creation is junior to him by tattva, by fact. But by interaction, they're senior. Right? So Brahmaji is known as the creator, but we already know that Vairaja is already there. The Lord is already himself the primary creator. But when we talk about creation of the universe, the credit goes to Brahma. You know, or just like Krishna has already told Arjuna, I've killed everybody on this battlefield. But the glory goes to Arjuna. So Krishna doesn't have any difficulty with this. Why? Because he doesn't have to worry about his confidence. He's not trying to establish himself as God. You know, it's like the cowherd boys do something and make some joke or something. He doesn't go, hey, I'm God here, you know. He doesn't have to do that. It doesn't bother him. So that's the whole point, is that what we were discussing yesterday in the Bhagavatam, the forest of enjoyment, is that the facts are there. Then there's how we deal with it in rasa. But these contradictions aren't a problem because you're dealing with the Lord. So there can be these contradictions. That's what makes it interesting. That's what makes it tasty, is that there is a contradiction. But it works out. That's what's nice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this thing is, oh, we can't accept these facts. And this is, no, this is just the way it is. But that's not the way you deal with it. Right? What is it? What is a child? Okay? somebody totally ignorant, totally inept, you know, both on the physical, emotional, and intellectual platform. They have to be taken care of for everything. They can't even sit by themselves. They'll fall over and bang their head. Okay? That's the fact. But in relationship, in rasa, how is it dealt with? They're the center of attention. Everybody sits around, make sure everything goes all right for them. They can't do it, everybody else makes sure it happens. Yes.
Does rasa come from contradicting tattva?
Yes. Because you have masculine and feminine. That's the ultimate contradiction.
Yes.
Right? So that's where it is. It's the difference that makes taste. You know what I'm saying? What if I make two preparations and they're exactly the same?
You just make one.
You know, I cook some potatoes and I cook exactly the same potatoes. And I put the first potatoes in your plate, I put the second potatoes in your plate.
Weird.
That's weird. Weird, yeah. So that's the whole point. It's the difference. You know what I'm saying? Now let's say I did potatoes with, let's say, some cumin and ginger and things like that, and I did another bunch of potatoes, you know, basically exactly the same dried potatoes. I make another set of dried potatoes, you know, but let's say I use garam masala and like that. Okay?
Look at that.
So they'll taste different, but they look exactly the same. Okay, now what if I make one of them is a dry potato, one of them is like with a sauce, a gravy. Getting better. Okay, even better yet, okay, then I change it from potato into cauliflower. Okay, now we're talking. Okay? Okay, and then for lunch I give you that cauliflower sabji and the potato sabji and that's it.
Where's the rice?
That's it, so then there's the rice. That's totally different. You understand? So it's the contradictions, it's the difference that makes for taste. This idea, the modern ideas make everybody the same, and then there'll be more taste. That's why people are getting bored. That's why marriages don't work. That's why nothing works socially. It's because where's the taste? Where's the drive to make people interact? That's the whole thing, is that it's not understood. Even though they're dying to enjoy material nature, the more they get away from the Vedic perspective, the less they enjoy, even though they're totally committed to enjoyment. So the devotees, even though they're not committed to enjoyment, enjoy more. When they take prasad, they get more out of what they're eating than the karmis do. Right? I mean, in the karmi world, who do you see going, wow, this is great and fabulous? Right? The chef on the cook show.
Yeah.
He's the only one. Ooh, yeah. Well, he's going on and on about it, you know. Like that. Other than him, no one else is doing anything. You know? He's it. That's it. Right? You know, other people are going, and that was a good day, you know. The man actually made a noise. Normally you don't even get that. Yeah, it's just the eating. I'd be like, oh yeah, great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's the thing. The difference is what's important. Right?
Yes.
That's why difference is what is being done. So now, what's the... Now, taking this to... You know, just following your question. Taking this point of step of difference. Okay, now we've gotten difference in that. Okay, now you have here, we got it down to the ultimate difference is masculine and feminine. Okay, now when you get into that aspect, now if we want to even make that difference more, then what does the masculine do and what does the feminine do?
The opposite.
Yeah, you understand? So the masculine, though in the senior position, by facts, puts themselves in the junior. Right? And the female being in the junior position puts themselves in the senior. Then you've taken difference to the ultimate. You understand? So it's a matter of taste. So understanding that, then that taste is there.
It's like touching.
Yeah. So that, but then the fun part is then why people are not comfortable with that? Because of the need to establish themselves, so therefore pride.
Yes.
Right? And then because of that pride, then there's the need for women and intoxication. But because of the pride, you can't actually get the taste from dealing with women. Therefore, the next step, intoxication.
Yes.
Does that make sense? If things go nicely with the ladies, what's the need of intoxication?
Yes.
You know, you'd want to remember what happened.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, so that's the problem, is that people are very comfortable to not remember.
Yes.
You know, so if they wake up in the morning and they look around and it doesn't look so bad, you know, it's kind of like, you know, did we have fun?
Yeah.
You know? And if they look around and it looks bad, they don't want to know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this is the whole thing, is that that's why we talk about it's not a science. The modern culture is not a science. Therefore, they don't scientifically gain from it what is possible. And so that's the problem. So then if we accept the science, then we see it goes up. Now, why is the Vedic superior? Because people are still eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Like that, they're making money, there's social interaction, there's families, there's houses. What's changed?
In the Vedas, what's it?
No, I'm just saying, no, what's the difference between someone nicely following the Vedic culture and someone who doesn't either rejects it or doesn't know about it and is not following it? Because the activities are the same, technically, means in principle. What's the difference?
Results,
but why the results are better?
Just for Krishna.
That's the whole point. No, but that's taking the next step, the devotee. But the pious person who's following the Vedic culture, it's God's laws. So it's a touch closer to God. That's why it works better.
Yeah.
You understand? So that's why it's a superior position. Say what we want about the smartest, they're situated better than anyone else on the planet, on the mundane sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no one better situated than a smarta Brahman on the material platform. But the point is it's still not far enough, because we're not just human. So they're the best of humans, but the jiva is more than human. So that's why then the devotees are actually the best. And then, because of that, it doesn't matter what their position is. Whether they're brahminical by conditioning or not. It doesn't matter. Because that's the real point in the material world. Yes?
Could you explain what's the correct use of pride? Because oftentimes you hear that pride can be used, but it should be used in the...
It means proud to be involved in, you know, Lord Chaitanya's mission, or to be associated with the devotees, or... Because then it's not about us, it's not about my accomplishment, it's about proud of being part of something great, that it's great, not us. The problem is when we're great, not anybody else. That's where the problem comes up.
So it's about identification?
Yeah, so it's not an identity. See, the one is I'm proud because I identify, I'm the doer. This other is I'm proud because I'm associated with something great.
So then that pride is more the separatist mentality.
Yeah.
Division.
Yeah. Yeah, separate rather than being with. Yeah, that's a good point. So it's the mode of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come up with that. Third canto, Kapila Muni gets into this. The separatist mentality. Yes.
Sri Prabhupada made the point that we are proud about knowledge that's coming from pride. It's perfect.
Yes.
So when presenting it to other people, they might say, oh, you're so proud. But yes, we are proud.
Yeah, of course. Because it's great. Because they're proud of their institution, so we're proud of ours. You know, just our heritage is a touch longer.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to add quite a few zeros onto theirs. Right? So 1,000. Then you have 10,000. 100,000. Then million, 10 million, 100 million, billion, 10 billion, 100 billion, trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to add 11 zeros.
But technically, they're fighting amongst themselves just in one generation, so would you even technically say it goes back about...
That's just being, you know, okay. If we're gracious.
Okay. of being friendly.
If the taste is in the difference,
yes.
Why is it that when we are making a match for marriage, we're looking at similarities and compatibility?
No, you're looking for compatibility, not similarity.
Okay. Can you explain the difference?
A bowl and a spoon. They're not the same, but they're compatible.
Isn't it that there has to be some similarity?
Compatible means that there's elements that are common. It's just like you have the masculine and feminine. The masculine is I, the feminine is mine. The common is endeavor. Right? I endeavor, I get results, and mine is, the results are mine, right? So the guy endeavored, he got the results, he can have the you know, pride of thinking, I did this, and she has the benefit, it's hers. You understand? It works, so the common ground is the endeavor. That's why devotional service, the service activity, that's everybody can be involved. That's the universal. It's not what you do or the mentality you do. That's going to be different. One, everybody's an individual. And two, the masculine and feminine approach is very different. But the common or the compatible is the endeavor. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's it's all this is, it's different. So that's the whole view. That's what makes it wonderful. So this idea of making everything the same, that's Mayavad. Why Mayavad? Why does the living entity turn to Mayavad philosophy?
Because of frustration.
In other words, they can't enjoy, therefore that. So what's the point? Because enjoyment's not there. Satisfaction, security's not there. Therefore the frustration make everything the same. That's all. This is how it comes up. Otherwise, why give up a position where you're in control for one you got to do it yourself? Right? You got other people working for you. Why would you give that up to do it yourself? You know, especially the things you got to do are the ones that aren't nice. Getting in a car, driving 2 hours to work, 2 hours back, and sitting there with people that you don't know and you don't like. You know, working for someone you don't know and you don't like. You know, how is that an advantage? That's the whole thing. Yes.
Right hand and left hand are very compatible.
Yes.
So they're totally opposite.
Yeah, they're totally opposite. Yeah. Okay. Totally. Like hand and mouth, right? Very different, but work quite well. Or let's say, halva and bucket.
Yeah. Classic.
Yes. You know, so, yeah. Okay. Okay. Lord Sri Krishna is ultimately the creator of the Brahma Jyoti. Mention this verse as Swarochi Sha, or the effulgence of the transcendental body of the Lord. It's his effulgence. Now, why is it effulgent? Because it has qualities. So the effulgence is the effulgence of his qualities. Therefore, the effulgence has that nature of those qualities. Right? Sun rays have the quality of the sun. Right? You feel warmth, there's light. Right? All the qualities are there, but just less. So in other words, the Brahma Jyoti is coming from Krishna. It's the effulgence of his qualities. But it won't have the same position as him. Just as the sun rays don't have the same position as the sun.
Yes.
So this Brahma Jyoti is all-pervading. And all creation is made possible by its potential power. Therefore, the Vedic hymns declare that everything that exists is being sustained by the Brahma Jyoti. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Right? So that's a Mahavakya of the Mayavadis. But for us, that's just facts. Yes, of course. But what the way they're trying to use it, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, everything is Brahman, so therefore everything you see is Brahman. It's there. The senses are Brahman. The illusion is Brahman. Everything's Brahman. But you have to understand what are the levels of Brahman, the different varieties in Brahman. But then that's the problem, right? If I'm trying to enjoy, and enjoyment is based on variety, If I get frustrated with enjoyment, what's the first thing to go?
Variety.
You understand? So it's just natural. So their idea of this, sarvam kalvidam brahma, is a mistake. It's because they're opposed to rasa. Right? They're just trying to deal with facts because it's more blunt. But even that, because rasa is part of the facts, they can't even view the facts properly. So then that's going to be a problem. Because Sankarshan means studying what is the nature of Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. So that means you're studying the field and studying relationship and how it works. So that means then they won't do well. So you can see it's very meager when it comes to dealing for the living entity. It may be very elevated for a karmi, but for the devotee, it's very meager. It doesn't offer much.
Is Sankarshan in the situation and holds the relationship? Who represents the relationship in the situation among the quadruple?
Means you have the relation, means relationship is going to be based on the situation and the mood. Right? So you have to have that. But there has to be an intent or a purpose in the relationship. Right? And therefore there must be an endeavor to obtain that. Does that make sense? So in other words, they all go together. That therefore, when the relationship is actually dynamically applied, that's Vasudeva. So you have the two qualities of each of Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. All six are there when Vasudeva. In other words, to analyze, you need two qualities. To appreciate and be inspired, you need two qualities. And to see the goal, you need two qualities. But to apply it, that whole thing, you need all six. That's why Vasudeva is the superior. Does that make sense? When we're talking about expansion of the creation and creating the situations, we talk about Sankarshan. You know, so from Baladeva, who's Sankarshan, expands Mahanarayan, then expands Sankarshan, who then expands the Vasudeva, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. You know, of Dwarka, and then expands into Vaikuntha, and then they each expand. So each time from the quadruple is Sankarshan who's expanding, and then the others, because that's the situation. Right? Because without a situation, how do you have a pastime? It's not that Krishna can't do it in space, but where's everyone going to stand? Where is everybody?
Kind of floating around.
But yeah, or they don't exist because they haven't been expanded, right? You know, so the point is you expand the situation, which is the Dom, the associates, everybody. Then the pastime has meaning. So from that angle, you take Sankarshan as the first expansion. But actually, as the lead expansion is Vasudeva, because the whole reason it's being done is to serve Vasudeva. So Sankarshan or Balaram is always serving Krishna. That's always his intent, even if he's taking the senior position. It's just to create a nice atmosphere, a nice environment for service to Krishna to happen. So, yes?
I remember reading, so Brahmajyoti consists out of jivatmas?
No, the jivas may be in Brahman, but it's not consisting of jivatmas. Because that's the kustubha jam, that's your jivas. Like that. Brahman is just the effulgence of his qualities. Now, jivas may be there, and there may be unlimited jivas there, but it's not, from what I remember, it's not consisting of. Because so far the acharyas haven't mentioned it.
Is it also affected by the time factor?
Brahman, no.
Brahmajyoti, not affected.
No. Means it's just like, is the earth affected by time? The plant is, but not the earth. You understand? Soil is not affected by time. Soil is still soil, whether it's summer or winter, whether it's wet or dry. Whether you put seeds, you don't put seeds, it doesn't matter. It's still soil. So Brahman is still Brahman. So all it is that from this, because what are you dealing with? Brahman, if you're talking about qualities, that means you have the existence feature and you have the qualities. So from that point, the existence is the masculine principle, the qualities are the feminine. Right? But now, when you're looking at then in application, then if you're going to have a quality, if you have the quality there, then you have to have those forms and those actions which will attain the qualities. So the quality is the masculine, the forms and activities are the feminine. So that's what Brahman is. So now from that soil, then by working with that, now you can take out the particular forms. So Brahman being pervading everything. So that means it pervades all aspects. So then from that, then you'll get the advantage in spiritual, you get the advantage in the external. Right? So then you can manifest those. So it's the same. The spiritual world is also manifest of this. Right? But on that side, we're talking about the Srutshakti. Over here, the personal doesn't have to get involved. The impersonal is enough to make all this happen. Right? Do you have a relationship with this pillar? Not really. So therefore the impersonal is good enough. Right? So the primary creation is the Brahman. The secondary is how Brahma, churns from that the manifestation, the cosmic manifestation. So that's why this canto is about the cosmic manifestation. How the secondary is produced from the primary. So that makes sense.
Yeah, so what is Brahman made of? I mean, if it's not...
Brahman's made of Brahman.
Brahman.
Brahman is made of existence.
So just it's a space, it's a
it's no, a feeling. No, it's existence. It's existence. And so that existence contains everything. But in impersonal feature. Because if I say greatness, is that personal or impersonal?
Impersonal.
Yeah. Now, if I say, for the Indian audience, Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, so that's a personification of greatness. You understand? But greatness itself is impersonal. Strength, honor, beauty, these are all impersonal. But when they're manifest, then that's where the personal is. So here, the basis is impersonal. But the personal manifestation is temporary. That's why it's not the prominent. So Brahman is the prominent. So that's why it's the higher truth when you're dealing with the material world. Therefore, the impersonalists, their angle is actually a higher angle of vision than the materialists. But because it doesn't include rasa, it's limited on that side. In other words, they're less than the materialist when it comes to relationship. But when it comes to knowledge, it's greater. So then the difficulty comes in then applying it in devotional service, then the idea of culture and in dealing on the personal platform does not compute. Hence, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine. It doesn't say nirvishesha shunyavadi, down home here in India where all the Mayavadis are from. It says nirvishesha shunyavadi from the paschatya desh, which means west. So when you have impersonalism, then you have west. Yes. Yes.
In this concept, paschatya, is it connection with pishacha? What's paschatya?
Paschatya. I don't know. Maybe there's some connection between. I don't think so, because the one's paisach. But yeah.
It's just west.
Huh?
Western direction.
It's just western direction. Yeah, but then there's also the Wicked Witch of the West. Yeah. The other directions weren't so bad. there may be some connection there. He may be onto something.
Russian made that connection.
Russia.
I heard it from Russian.
Oh, okay. But you have to look at see. Oh, I see. And so he's now is he east or west of the Urals? Who made the connection? Because if they're east, then yeah, west. You know.
Those people are from Moscow.
Oh, okay. Yes, so from there. Okay. Therefore, the potential seat of all creation is the Brahma Jyoti. And the same Brahma Jyoti, unlimited and unfathomed, is established by the Lord. So, in other words, it's all the principles of everything not manifest. When it's manifest, then we don't call it Brahma Jyoti. But it's coming, we call it the material world, or material phenomena, though technically it's Brahman. Right? The cabbage, it's technically soil. It's just a particular manifestation of the soil. So if you deal with it in a certain way, you can get that manifestation. So if you deal in a certain way from Brahman, you can get the material phenomena. That's what's happening. So that's what the science is explaining, how that happens. So if you do that, then you can put it back to Brahman. And then you go from that Brahman to Krishna, who's the source of the Brahman. So that's our process. You know, remove the illusion of the separateness of the material nature and its eternity. Bring it back to its natural state of Brahman, its eternal, the spiritual platform. Then that is its source is Krishna. And so therefore, and then our relationship there is then in devotion. Like that. So you can say on another thing, all living entities are situated in Brahman because Brahman is all pervading. So every living entity is situated in Brahman. But it's not that they're in Brahman consciousness. You know, the devotees are situated in Brahman, but they're not in Brahman consciousness. They're in part of Brahman consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you have these very subtle elements, right? Because we're so used to, it's just like Narad Muni. Now, and we see in the scriptures that all the discussions about the nature, direct nature of women, are generally discussions of a you know, prominent or leading woman who we would take as authority, and Narad Muni. Narad Muni's a brahmacharya. Mm-hmm. So, how does this work? Most brahmacharis, when you bring up the discussion and start talking about ladies, right, they tell you to shut up, or they leave, or they toss you out. You know, something's going to happen. Right? Okay. Why is that? Because it's too close. The interest in women is there, therefore the inability to discuss it. But for Narad Muni, there's no interest. Therefore, if the whole world's running under the drive of trying to make women happy, that includes women. Women are trying to make women happy, right? And themselves as a woman qualifies as in that category, and so they're trying to make themselves happy. Does that make sense? Or influence the situation in which they can be happy. Right? So, therefore, it's an interesting topic. If the whole world is working under that, why then wouldn't he want to know what it is? But he can ask and hear about it without any problem. Right? And so his discussions of these are with great personalities. It's not that he's talking to Rumba Dave and he's thinking, wow, this looks good. You know, Rumba is one of the top five in the universe. You know, but it's just that, okay, here's an apsara. And she looks like she's got some time now. She's not doing something. She happens to be traveling through space. He's traveling through space. And so, hey, maybe I can ask her this question. And she would have to accept her as an authority. Only one better than her would be Urvasi, right? And that's in Bhagavatam. So then you're not going to get better than that. Right? But he also discusses with Parvati, you know, his sister-in-law. You know? And so she's going to be even an better accepted authority than Urvasi. At the same time, Urvasi did come directly from the Lord, but then the external potency is also the Lord's potency. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, here's great authority, right? The controller of the material energy, the most qualified of all the beautiful women in the universe, and, you know, with the top five. Authoritative? Yes? No? Yeah, okay. Because that's how it works. It's not that, well, what's this qualification or that qualification? It doesn't matter. I remember there was one, I saw an article, it may have been in the 90s. It was time for, some referendums or different things, some kind of political discussions were going on, and they were very big, so all the papers are carrying them. And everybody's opinion, you know, this politician's opinion, that politician's opinion, you know, they throw in, you know, the richest guy's opinion, or, you know, this one and that one. One of the opinions that was there, big article, and, you know, very nicely worded, was somebody had gone to who was known as the top, you know, most prominent prostitute in San Francisco, the most, you know, the celebrity prostitute, and was asking her opinion. And it was a whole half-page article. Like that. So that's all. She was the most prominent of all the ladies there in San Francisco. Therefore, you know, her opinion's valued. You understand? So when I say these things about it, means because this is the way it works. People will value that. So the point is Narad Muni is approaching authority, and he's able to discuss these things because he doesn't have an interest. So then it's, one is able to therefore appreciate the science and the rasa. Because otherwise the first stage is one can get deal with one or the other. Right? You know, it's like one group is they like all the facts and that, you know, it's like we said, when you come to the forest of material enjoyment, these chapters, then you know, one group is going, yeah, and the other is going, oh no. I heard of one devotee, he was doing a summary of the whole, you know, going through the whole Bhagavatam and all the chapters, and he skipped that chapter. Just didn't address it. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that the Vedic, you can deal with both. The modern, they can't actually deal with either. They can't really address rasa because of the commitment, and they can't address the facts because it's just too overwhelming. While the Vedic, you can deal with both. So that degree that you can appreciate the facts, to that degree you can function in rasa. But it's being taken, if I know too much facts, then I'll ruin it. You know, ignorance is bliss. But actually, it's sattva guna is bliss. Yeah. Does that work?
Yeah.
Yes.
In its sastras, these discussions with Narada Muni and his ladies, which scriptures?
They're in the Puranas, like that. I'm not sure if it's Skanda or like one of those. That means they're Puranic. Yeah. Okay. Therefore, the potential seat of all creation is the Brahma-jyoti, and the same Brahma-jyoti, unlimited and unfathomed, is established by the Lord. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is ultimately the supreme cause of all creation, aham sarvasya prabhava. Because it's his potency that is the basis of the creation, but it's his potency is Brahma. Like that. So that's what you have to deal with. One should not expect the Lord to create like a blacksmith with a hammer and other instruments. Hence, the Norseman may have been making a mistake here. The Lord creates by his potencies. He has multifarious potencies. Parasya shaktir vividhaira shruyate. Right? So it cannot be Brahma vivartavar. Right? It has to be... Right? Did I get that right? No. Parinamabad, yeah. It's not Brahma Vibhart Parinamabad. It has to be Shakti Parinamabad. Because that's the thing. He's not doing it himself. He's not the one sitting there with the anvil and hammer and fire, right? That Maya does that, right? If you've ever noticed, it's your head that's on the anvil. And she will shape you to how you deserve to be, yeah. The Lord creates by his potencies. He has multifarious potencies. Parasya shakir vividhaiva shunyate. Just as a small seed of a banyan fruit has the potential, potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his potential Brahma Jyoti, Svarochi Shah. And the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. Brahma cannot create the seeds, but he can manifest the seed into a tree, just as the gardener helps plants and orchards grow by the watering process. And so you can't produce it. So that's the thing. Neither has he produced the soil, neither has he produced the seed, neither technically he produces the plant, because that's the material cause. He simply takes part in the watering process, right? So therefore, as the operational cause, right, or instrumental cause, that's the part. But the credit's given to the instrumental cause. Does that make sense? You know, at the same time, it's given to the one whose potency behind it happens. Does that make sense? You have the business owner. He has a factory. In the factory, there's people who are taking part and producing the product. But when we say, who makes the product? We'll say the man. At the same time as the man on the floor can say, I made the product. Right? Does that make sense? So one is, it's the transformation of the energies of the person who owns the company, and the other one is the instrument in that transformation. Is that something? Okay. Lord Brahma continued, the five elementary ingredients of creation, dravyam, the interaction, karma, thereof set up by eternal time, kala, and the intuition or nature of the individual living being, svabhava, are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and in truth there is no other value in them. Right, so why mention these particular group? This is actually the essence of how the creation and work is developed and how the material world functions, right? You have the five, the dravyam, means the ingredients, or the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Everything's made of that, right? Then you have karma, right, which is the cause of birth. So it's karma is that why someone will be in a situation. Why is the material energy in that particular form? It's due to the karma. How does that come about? It's kala. Right? So you have the ingredients, people interact with those ingredients, and how it's done that is by time. Then why is someone doing involved in that? Because of their intuition, their swabhava, the individual living entities. So all those are parts of the Lord. The elements are part of the Lord, kala, karma, and the living entities. And their only value is their connection to the Lord, yes.
Then in this connection, what's the difference between karma and svabhava? Because of svabhava we get particular karma.
Yes, but still, there's still a process that goes on. You have the desire, but until the action is performed, which means with time, you know, then you'll get your results. But what you're working with is your previous results. But that previous results is also affected by time. Right? So they're all interrelated. So then the living entity is unable to... I mean, all these have value because of their connection to the Lord. That's why they have potency. On their own, they don't. It's not that karma... You know, we'll look at, oh, fate is, you know, all-powerful, and because of fate, it happens. But where does fate get that power that it always happens? That's coming from the Lord. Why are the elements still there? We build something and then it falls apart, but the elements still remain. Why is that? Because that's there. That's the Lord's potency. Why is it you can produce those things? Right? That's the Lord's potency. Right? The time that makes the movement, that's the Lord's potency. Right? So that's the whole.
Here, when he mentions svabhava, in the 8th chapter, Arjuna makes a question, what's Brahman, what's the self? And he makes a distinction between Brahman, Adhyatmika, and then I think we discuss svabhava. So my doubt is, svabhava is intimately connected to the identity which we acquire
Yes, it's the identity we acquire, but it goes back to the primal, because you have your identity, and because of that you think I will control and enjoy in a particular way, right? But there has to be the basis that I am a controller, that I am an enjoyer.
That's the right.
Yeah.
Okay. The base, the original.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Just like, let's say the person, he's good at something, a particular thing, and then he loses his, enthusiasm or his confidence. Okay, so you're going to talk about how one can be successful. You know, either, you know, that one can do this, or, you know, you've done this in the past and this and that. But you may be giving example from detail. But in reality, you're talking generic. You understand? You know, you've won this competition before. You can do this. You know, you're a competitor. You're out there. You can get, you know, all these kind of things. You understand? So, bringing that into it, then they get the confidence. Then now it's, yes, I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. Then yes, now I can do this particular thing. Does that make sense? So, because what breaks down is not I can control and enjoy this particular thing. It's that I am the controller and enjoyer, because others are controlling and enjoying that same thing. So there's something wrong with me. Right? So the generic, you go back to that. So the living entity has the idea, his taste or the swabhava is I am the controller and enjoyer. Then from that you get the specific at the time. You know, you want to taste this or that. So due to mental speculation, you move around through that. And by the reactions of what you get, then you may speculate one thing, but you have the reaction of another. So then there's always that problem. Is that, you know, why I'm a winner. Why am I always in losing situations? You know, like that. So you have people like that. But they're very, means... The reality of what they talk and their, you know, I mean, what they talk and the reality of what results are gained for the situation are so different. Others can see it, they can't. But they have confidence. But they misuse their confidence, therefore they don't have the field to apply it. If you put that person in a different field, he'd be one of the most successful people on the planet. But he's misused it, therefore he doesn't have it. So... Yes.
Is swabhava also used to refer to the living entity's constitutional position as a servant?
Swabhava, yes, because that's the ultimate. We're, as Prabhupada mentioned, in all these, we're still going to serve. So therefore, what's the problem? Ultimately it comes down to saying this masculine and feminine principle. The feminine is in the position of service, but the masculine is also in the position of service. So the problem is neither wants to serve. The man thinks, why I should do like this, you know? And the woman thinks, why I should do like this. So then, because there's no service, there's no relation. So that's the difficulty. Is that swabhava is, I am servant of the Lord. Then if we have that, then we get rid of I am the controller and enjoyer. So that's the natural swabhava is, I'm the servant. The unnatural is, I am the controller and enjoyer.
So from what you just said, it seems that the original swabhava of being servant of Krishna
is servant. But because we're tatastha, it's neutral. It's an inherent thing to serve. But the point is being tatastha, you could either apply that service attitude towards the Lord or away from the Lord. So you come to the material world, we serve the material nature. Right? That's it. Yeah. Get something?
What is intuition?
Intuition. It's going to be a combination of, it means your experiences, your intelligence, and what is the results of your previous actions. So whether something should go nice or not. It's just like the person who has good karma. In a situation, they always pick the better of the options. Someone who has bad karma, he always picks the bad one.
Try
It's to do with one's conditioning, you know, and the situation that's there. Super soul is there. The super soul is just sanctioning, you know, what goes on. You want to make the best choice, you know. But the problem is it's already worked out. When you start the eeny, meeny, miny, mo process, it's already a mathematical calculation which toe it's going to end on. You know, yeah. Okay. None of these exist apart from the Lord because the items except the jiva are the effects of Maya. And Maya and the jiva are energies of the Lord. So then these are subsections of Maya and then there's the jiva. The universe is thus a form of Vasudeva. Right? Because Vasudeva, why Vasudeva? Because action is there. Activities is there. Confused? Why Vasudeva and why not Sankarshan? It means you have, because all the qualities Sankarshan, Prajumna, Anirudra are in Vasudeva. So if you say it's a form of Vasudeva, then you already include everything.
Well, then we can point at any of those in Vasudeva, because they included in him. We can call the situation Vasudeva. Sankarshan is included there.
No, but when you talk about the situation in connection with Vasudeva, you call it Sankarshan.
When you talk about activities in connection to Vasudeva, you call it what?
In connection with Vasudeva means if it's in connection, you call it devotional service.
Which is represented by whom?
By whom?
Yeah, in this form. Usually we say situation is Sankarshan.
Yes.
In connection with Vasudeva. When we say attraction is Pradyumna in connection with Vasudeva, then what?
The results.
Not the process?
No, Aniruddha is your result that you'll get. Vasudeva is the process.
So devotional process is technically Vasudeva.
That's why Govindaji is the prominent deity. But for understanding the facts of everything, that's Madan Mohan. So by understanding the facts, once you get inspired, that's the whole idea. If you study philosophy, you should become inspired. Or as one devotee pointed out, because devotional service is so purifying, it removes anxiety, right? Because spiritual is Vaikuntha, without anxiety. Right? The material world is with anxiety. So now, can you sleep if you're in anxiety?
No.
So therefore, devotees are able to sleep when we discuss philosophy, because the philosophy itself removes the anxiety. Yeah, very, very. But I'm saying a very, pleasant look at why devotees fall asleep. You know, but with time, then that purification then brings about inspiration. And then by hearing, it's a hearing about Krishna. You know, that Krishna Katha Ruchi. You get the taste for hearing. So that's why the acharyas have no problem discussing all these points, because it's all Krishna. There's parts that are sweeter, but they have no difficulty. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yes.
Well, I should connect it to the question that you made about Aniruddha, right? I also for a long time had this doubt if Aniruddha was actually the process or the result.
No, he's the result. Vasudeva is the process. Because to do the process, you have to have knowledge, you have to have the inspiration, and you have to know the goal. Then when you apply these three together, then you get interaction and results. If I don't know the field, I won't know what to do. If I don't have the inspiration, even though I know what to do, I won't do it. If I don't know the goal, I won't know where it's going. So I'm doing something, but don't know where it's going. You know, therefore, you know, the cliche of, you know, two people at a party, you know, two friends at a party, and one turns to the other and says, "Are we having fun yet?" Because they don't know what's supposed to happen. So therefore, you know, it's a party. We're supposed to be happy. So are we happy? You know, so, yeah.
Is that because Aniruddha being the mind is the experience you get?
The experience you get, yes. Because the point is why do you do it? If you don't get an experience out of it, you don't care. Let's say I factually, with knowledge, apply it, I get the actual physical results. Mm-hmm. But if I don't enjoy that, do I call that happiness?
No.
Okay. Now, what if I don't get the result, but I'm happy? Do I consider it worth doing? Yeah. This is like little kids. They're playing. Are they really getting any results? They just kicked the ball over into the bushes. Right? You know? They're laughing. You know? And all running and trying to get the ball and all that. You get a bunch of teenagers or adults. What happens when the ball gets kicked in the bushes?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big trip. In fact, if it happens too often, someone's going to be sitting on the bench.
In the bush.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? So the whole point is the kids aren't really getting a result, but by their endeavors, they're happy. So Aniruddha is there. Well, the other ones are so-called getting results, but they're happy or not happy, you know. So it's not about that. So for the kids, it's just doing things. So that's why it's actually a better position. You know, say, well, the kids got to be goal-oriented, but it's a matter of that, no, they appreciate the process. Well, the adults lose interest in the process. It's all about results. But then the problem is then they lose the other aspects. So Vasudeva includes all of them. Aniruddha only includes the Shakti and... Or Shakti and... Tejas. And that element of Shakti, it's always that they have that power to control and enjoy. So that's all people are interested in. But the actual knowledge and strength, people nowadays are very weak. Otherwise, why are they always the victim? Right? In the past, the guy who started off on the bottom and made it to the top, you know, now, was he a victim? In his mind, but in the social things, by the modern things, he was a more of a victim than the people nowadays that are victims. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy is there, he's just a kid on the block, and he has his friends that are kids on the block, and they're playing, and then one day he's playing with his friends, and the friend's parents come over like that and call him over, so he goes walking over with them, you know, because, you know, it's with him, and he likes, you know, he likes the kid likes the parents, so therefore, naturally, he likes the parents. So when he get over there, then, you know, the parents say, oh, you shouldn't be playing with him. It's like, why not? He's in from a different community. It's kind of like... The kids, you know, what are you talking about? You know, but the kid has to follow the parents because he lives there. You know, it's kind of like, you know, just by, you know, volume of time, you know, it's time spent, then the influence is there. And so then here he's just got his first taste at 5 years old that, you know, people are bodily conscious and view things by that. Right? And then he goes on to be, you know, one of these, what do you call it, you know, social reformers. Right? So that's it's generally by being the victim is a great impetus. So the point is these people were the victim and they were successful. This one's the victim and says, because I'm the victim, that's why I'm not successful. No, you're not successful because you're not successful. It has nothing to do with the victim stuff. You know? But if it affects you and you can't, that's understandable. You know? But at the same time, it's not mechanically the cause. Because the endeavor, you know all the parts, you can get results. But if you're the victim, then you think, I can't do this. So inspiration is gone. So therefore, you can't apply it.
So just to clarify, sometimes we say someone wants to make a building. And I think in the class you referred to the Brahmachari building as a result there. So once you get the building, is that...
Once you're trying to get that building in that particular form, that's your goal. That's Aniruddha. So in your building, you see that the building construction is going according to the plan, right? And you know all the things are arranged that need to be done to see that that's working to get the results. Like you can only have doors if you buy wood, and you have carpenters that are making it, and the carpenters know what size you want the doors and you know all that. So all these things have to be put in for the Sankarshan. Then you can see your goal, right? If the carpenter doesn't know what size the doors are, then how will he work? So he doesn't have the knowledge, that the goal can't be obtained. Right? So all that, but once you get it, then it becomes part of Sankarshan. It's just field now. Or actually part of Pajumna, because now I have a building, now what can I do with the building?
So, yeah, in that class you mentioned that the world is full of results, but it's going back to Sankarshan, that's why, it has no relation to me, so therefore...
Yeah, because now it's not the goal. You know, it's like the thing that was so the goal and everyone's driving for, as soon as they get it, then nobody's interested in it anymore. Like that. So the goal has meaning because the taste is coming from Vasudeva. The endeavor is where the taste is. Right? I think there's isn't there a saying like that? There's something about it's in the chase, not in the other ones?
Proof is in the pudding?
Huh?
The proof is in the pudding.
No, that's proof is in the food in the tasting. But this is about something about
in the chase or in the hunt.
Something in the chase.
Yeah, it's about the chase. It's something about it. It's the chase that's interesting, not the getting.
Them.
Getting, yeah.
Okay.
In this discussion, Sambandha is Sankarshan?
Yes, Sankarshan is Sambandha, but also Pajumna. Pajumna and Sankarshan are both Sambandha.
Why Pajumna?
Because it's the inspiration gained from having observed the field. You feel, I have a relationship with this, I can do something with this. So there's inspiration with desire. Right? So in that is also then the attitude. So one is the intellectual aspect, the other is the mental aspect. So Sambandha requires both the intellectual and the mental. When they're both together, then it works. Like you say, someone has relationships, but not so much intellectual, it would be considered sentimental. Or someone's dealing with relationships, but it's very dry, you know, then, because it doesn't have the emotional. So there has to be both. Right? So always you see is that anything that works nicely, there's always that balance of the two. Right? That's what one's looking for, that balance. So that's what the Vedic culture is designed as. It's giving you the best opportunity and understanding how to live a balanced lifestyle. Right? So, because the modern is not. It's speculative. So it'll catch on something. So because you're trying to create a balance, it'll catch one thing. But then it'll miss another. And then with time, people will be... In other words, the prajumna element of being attracted to a certain aspect of a certain field starts to wane because of the problems that come up from not addressing other aspects. So then they'll analyze again the field, and then they'll come up with a new idea, a new flavor, a new everything. And then they'll go after that for a while, and that will be the new thing. And then because that'll fail also, then they'll switch to another. So it always oscillates back and forth. It means it's like, you know, like I mentioned, we're talking about nowadays people are trying to break the, you know, like in dress code, that it's more free and everything like that. But now before the Victorian age, it was very free. It was extremely free. Then with the Victorian, then it became kind of closed. Does that make sense? So all it is it's going back and forth. It means it's they go back and forth between being very wild and being very conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always been going on.
In that sense, I was analyzing some photos of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the dressing code. And it's interesting how they take one element, which is prominent in that. Bhaktisiddhanta had a jacket which is with buttons on both sides, extremely royal.
Mm-hmm.
He's next to the chief royal minister of England coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you look and he's more royal than the chief. But he's fully dressed like
a devotee. All they do is add the coat. You don't have to get rid of everything else. Uh-huh. Means in other words, your dress always remains. You can add things to it according to the the time. Just like, let's say you want to keep your neck warm. then according to the time, there's different ways to keep your neck warm. Like before, they'd use very thin cloth, wrap it around the neck many times, and then tie it in a bow, and that's where you get the start of this whole bow tie business. You know, like that. Or you have your muffler, or you have, you know, so many other things that you have. But as time goes, these always change. You know, is the muffler thin? Is the muffler long? Is the muffler short? Is the muffler wide? You know, according to the time, then it has its flavor. Like I remember as a kid, I had a friend. He had a 5 meter long muffler. It wasn't so wide, but he put it around his neck and wrap it till it was like, you know, out to his shoulders, and he was very warm. He was very happy with his muffler.
So one thing I learned from studying these pictures was that the Acharya, he kept, even though some of his disciples could use suits, but he would never do it.
Yeah, and Prabhupada mentioned the sannyasis should always stay in their own clothes, like that. Others may adjust for the situation, but you know, like that.
Suited and booted,
yeah. Though a few of them were. I'm not sure, maybe they were brahmacharis at the time. But a few of them were
suits, right?
But I mean, definitely the brahmacharis, but because they were prominent, I'm not sure. But generally, the sannyasis didn't. Like going into Singapore, Prabhupada didn't go into Singapore like that, because he'd have to change the dress. Everywhere else he went as he was. You know, but if it works, you can do it. But it's the whole point is we have our dress. We have our, you know, what we do. So then we just try to adjust with that. And so then, according to the taste, like Prabhupada would wear very nice, it would be ironed. You know, how he'd wear it would be nice. So then you add in that little bit of the flair. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't worry about the flair. It was done well. You know, his cloth would be shorter or different things like that. He didn't worry about that. Prabhupada would wear the cloth longer and, you know, so it's just a matter of what is those little elements, what are there. But that's just you add to what's already there, because they're Krishna's qualities. So we're doing it because they're Krishna's qualities. Krishna is, you know, aristocratic, you know. We're not doing it because aristocrats are there and I want to be aristocratic. Because a lot of the people in the aristocratic element, they don't dress aristocratic enough. And they don't have a problem. Right, so we're looking at it from the quality of Krishna, not from the quality of the karmis. There's unlimited qualities. There's only the qualities of Krishna to choose from. So the materialist will always be functioning on some prominence of some of Krishna's qualities. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, then it's just a matter of bringing those out, speaking according to that, and things like that. You know, it's just like mentioned before, I was dealing with straight edge group like that. So straight edge, they like it straight. They just up front, really, really, you know, rough. The straighter it is, the better. Like that. So then, you know, you talk, you know, forest and material enjoyment. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, they're into it, you know. But then when I bumped into another group that looked very similar, but I didn't catch, you know, certain subtleties like color in their tattoos or, you know, their hair was pink instead of, you know, something else. So then I used the same technique. And they were emotionally destroyed. The host, you know, is a devotee. He had to spend 5 hours going through it and discussing with them, you know, what was meant and this and that. And it was just the language explaining that, you know, he just got back from dealing with the community of straight edge. So, you know, after 5 hours they were, you know, okay. But that was the difference. It was, otherwise they looked the same, but they're called by a different name. That group, because of the major differences, like, you know, melody in their music, or, you know, yeah. Does that make sense? So that was the so all you're doing is keeping the same position, but adjusting for what is the audience. But the adjustment doesn't mean that we have to adjust ourselves, really, because all it is you're adjusting to which particular quality of Krishna that they're attracted to. You know, business people, it's professional, it's you know, things are done and right, time works nicely, you know, goals are gained, there's plans, there's so you just have to work in those areas. You know, while others, you know, it's like, you know, everything's, you know, hey, slow down, it's cool, don't worry, you know, why are you getting so, you know, uptight and, you know, like that, you know, just because you said, you know, we have to do something on a particular time, you know. You understand? So you talk according to the audience. You deal according to that. But it's not that we have to change. This idea, I have to change. No, why do we have to change? Because it's like, we're doing one thing, they're doing another. No, we're doing one thing scientifically, they're doing the same thing unscientifically. That's the only difference. The difference between the devotees and the non-devotees is the science, that's all. That's the only difference. They're following Varnashram, they're following all the things of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, but they don't know they're doing it, so they're not getting results. Right? So that's all. It's simple. So you just have to see it in connection with the Lord, and then you apply that one.
I could see what you're saying, just that the type of cloth that Srila Prabhupada was wearing addressed many qualities that they were looking for immediately, you know, the beauty, the statue.
Yes.
Everything was there in that cloth.
Yes.
So he knew which cloth would give that result, he knew what he had to do.
But it's just a matter of within what we're doing, because when you're talking about moving up in the echelon of stuff, it's the quality of what you're wearing. You don't have to change that you're wearing bed sheets. It's just the quality of bed sheets, you know. You know, you're going to a high class thing, you know, you use Egyptian cotton 1,000 count, you know. They know what it is. Like, I remember we were going through the security. Yeah, I'm not sure what's the thing about security, but they always have comments about everything, right, you know. And so we're going through security, I'm going with Preeti, you know, and so then I have my chudders and he has his chudders. And, you know, you have to take them off and put them in the box, right, you know, because, you know. And so as they come through, then the lady who's, you know, dealing with it, you know, she notices the chudders and goes, ooh, it's going to take him a while to come up in status to have this kind of chudder. She immediately can tell, you know, who was the senior, who was the junior, just looking at the chudders. Like that. You know? Like that. So that's the thing, is it goes right. It's just, the thing is, what's the difference between wool and cashmere? You understand? Quality. People who deal with cashmere can tell the difference. Those who deal with wool can't. You understand? So therefore, because we're working basically on the fashion kind of middle class, and it's influenced a bit by the street and a bit by the top and just a little bit here and there, but it's real middle of the road kind of jazz. So we see the difference is very much in, you know, the suit or the this or the that. But it's in the refinement of what you're wearing and how you wear it. It's just like someone wears a dhoti, it looks very pukka. Someone else wears it and it looks, you know, like a disaster. But you could give them the same cloth. So that's the thing. Prabhupada is very aware of how you wore it. So in other words, he just applied all the aristocratic elements of his background, you know, and in the modern culture, and people appreciate it. So that's you know, we're always applying our street stuff. But if you want to apply the street, then it really better be street. Otherwise, it's you know where the chains, where the tats, where the you know piercings. You know, it's just not going to cut it. You know, baggy faded T-shirt does not cut it. I don't know of any what group who wears baggy faded T-shirt.
Devotees.
Yeah, that's it.
You got it.
You know,
I
exactly.
Left my heart in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Just remember that one. It's called the couch potato.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Work.
Yeah.
It's the couch potato. So we two groups. So we found our social
match.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
March. We skipped a part of the Vishnu Chakravarti at the beginning. Nothing exists other than.
Oh, okay. Because it has the same words that's in the one above it. Yeah. So that's why we're reading the one above it. I was. Same thing, symbol. Okay. Nothing exists other than the Lord. Okay, now this will make more sense. Right? Dravya means the elements, the substance of matter, upadana. Right? Upadana means dravya, means your ingredients. Like when you're doing puja, you have dravya or upadana. So upadana is collecting the ingredients. Karma is the cause of birth. Kala is the agitator of the gunas. Subhava is the cause of the change in the gunas. Like according to your flavor, then you get attracted by different gunas. And then once you get attracted, then it all works in that kind of way. You know, it's like, how you say? It just struck me as that the internet, that you go on to something, and then accordingly, that you have all these different levels of whatever you choose, then they then give a selection for you. Right? Mm-hmm. They try to tailor it according to your mentality. You know, and that's your sight. So when you go into the sight, they do it again. You know, so they keep doing this. They tailor it according to the sobha. So it's just a reflection of how Maya works. You know, there's the modes of nature. You get attracted by one thing. Then she gives all the things that connect with that mode. And then within that mode, then the predominance that mode. So you just keep adjusting until they're completely, how you say, happy in their ignorance. Jiva is the enjoyer. None of these exist apart from the Lord, because the items, except the jiva, are the effects of Maya. And Maya and the jiva are energies of the Lord. The universe is thus a form of Vasudeva, right? Because the Lord comes and performs his pastimes. So that's what we're talking here, is the interactive element. Then it's Vasudeva. We're talking about each element being part of the Lord, like that. And his energies, then we would say Shankarshan. Does that make sense? But we're talking about the interaction, because we're talking about the kala, the moods, everything. So mood will be your prajumna aspect. You know, the time will be the active, that'll be your activity, the abhideya. Right? You have your results that you, goals that you want and results that you get. So that will be your karma. Does that make sense? The situation will be your modes, you know, and the elements. Does that make sense? But everything starts to change. You change your mood, then the modes change, so then everything changes, so your activity changes, your results change. Was that it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Tomorrow's where it says karma is the cause of birth means that prayojan is becoming the...
Yeah, becoming the situation. Because what you do in this life, that'll generate your next life. Because otherwise a sense is a sense. But the way you want to use the sense, therefore it needs a particular form to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Well, when is a devotional service, then the action is not karma, right? Then that's why it's liberating.
Yes. Then karma is the one that goes out. The substance will stay, the upadana, kala will stay. You know, the subhava has changed. So because of that, it goes. Then he's not the enjoyer anymore. So then you change, because the activity then is devotional service. Because you have the jiva, you have the material energy. So therefore, what do you have? You have the jiva as purusha, you have the material energy as prakriti. Where does purusha and prakriti meet? If we're dealing with the sambandhavideya and prayoja.
In Abhideya.
Okay? So now you change that, but that means this, the jiva is the purusha, is I'm the controller and enjoyer. So what's the activity? What's the Abhideya?
Karma.
Right? Mundane. Now you change it to I'm servant of Krishna, and the results are for Krishna. So what's the Abhideya?
Devotional service.
You understand? That's why if these two are correct, Vasudeva is right. If it's not, it's mundane activities. But the formula is the same. It's still by Vasudeva that they're doing their activity.
street. So therefore, as preachers, if we concentrate on the identity, then, and the goal, then naturally people do.
Yeah. Point is, if they see themselves related to Krishna consciousness, they see that the results of their endeavors are connected to Krishna consciousness, everything else will follow. Naturally, they'll adjust. Right? It's just like, if I identify as servant of Krishna, I'm going to first apply it to whatever situation I'm in, not changing anything. Like that. Then, with time, I'm going to start to, because I identify like that, I'm going to start to notice, well, devotees dress like this, or they eat like that. So if I've identified that way, then I'm going to change it. It's not a separate thing. That's why we don't have a problem that the person, whatever situation he's in, he's doing devotional service. At the same time, is we don't leave it like that. It's a matter of time, and he will make adjustment. That's why we don't have to worry about it. We focus on understanding and cultivating pure devotional service, not whether they're a vegetarian or not, or how they dress, or things like that. We don't worry about that. We worry about pure devotional service. Being convinced of that, they'll naturally, in association with devotees, adjust things that make it good for pure devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. You know?
Yeah. In the very beginning, with Ekadashi preachers, there's no sambandha, the person has no goal. But is he being engaged in someone else's goal to please Krishna, and by that it comes back and affects his own identity?
Yeah, you could say, because he's associated with devotees. Agyata Sukriti happens in the association of devotees, or because devotees were there, as we mentioned. The Gita is in a garbage can because a devotee was out distributing it. Right? So, because of that, then they get that Agyata Sukriti. So the devotee has a goal to please Krishna. In other words, they come in contact with devotional service. They don't know it's devotional service, so it's Agyata Sukriti. So there's always a benefit when you come in contact with Krishna. But the difference is whether you know it's Krishna or not, just like Hiranyakashipu. He appreciated the Lord and was in contact with the Lord, but he didn't know he was God. Therefore, he only got pious credit. It's not even a Gyata Sukriti because there's no devotional service. It's not that he was taking part in Pallad Maharaj's activity and therefore he got some benefit. That won't be there. It's just like, let's say, Akbar's wife, she has a temple and has festivals. And then Akbar, because of his appreciation of her, then and when she has her festivals, he comes and takes part. She has a little Janmashtami and offering and artik and dashat. He comes and takes part. That's a Gyata Sukriti. You know, like that. Because he knows what it is. Devotional service is going on. But here, Hiranyakashipu isn't specifically doing a devotional activity. He's not assisting a devotee in their devotional service. It wasn't like Prahlad's devotional service to be stomped on by elephants or boiled in ghee, right? So therefore, I was just assisting, you know? You know, he's not going to be able to pull off any, you know, Nuremberg, you know, cliches here, right? You know? So therefore, because it's in touch with the Lord, he's getting material benefit. Therefore, he has opulence that, you know, Who else has? Therefore, Ravana, that's the significance of having Lanka. Lanka was Kuvera's place. Kuvera is the treasure of the demigods. Who's got money? Right? Kuvera, right? You know, it's like, let's say, like this. If I stick my hand into a pot of ghee, okay? I take my hand out of the ghee. The ghee's not mine. Do I have any ghee on my hands?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the process. That's how economics work, right? You know, you're dealing with that. So he's the treasure of the demigods, so he's got money. Who wants to leave money with a guy who has no money? You know, it's like you're walking, every day you walk by, and every day there's the same bum sitting in the same place next to the same garbage can. But you've seen it for years. Now, you need to leave some money somewhere. So would you think of him? He's stable. He's steady. He's always next to the same garbage can. So am I going to leave the money with him? You know? No. You leave with some. So the point is unless he's wealthy, why the demigods want to leave their wealth with him? Okay? Right. So now, Lanka, that was his own private city. It's made of gold. It wasn't that Hanuman went around, started a fire, and then all the gold leaf, you know, came off of the city. And it looked very sad without the gold leaf. No, it was gold, solid gold. It burnt. And when gold gets hot, it stays hot. So it didn't cool down for a long time. Very destructive. Other things, metal by nature, but gold stays hot the longest. Right? So therefore it was a problem. So now Ravana, having taken over Lanka, then it's a natural, because he had that piety from that touch of the Lord to have the maximum wealth in the universe. But because it was in connection with the Lord, but not in connection with devotion, he didn't have any more devotion for the Lord as Ravana than he did as Hiranyakashipu. Like that. So that's the thing, is that element, the intent, the mood is very important. That's why in Gita, in the introduction, Prabhupada opens with the spirit is the most important. You start with that. If the spirit's right, then you can accept the goal. And that the goal's right, then you'll adjust your situation. Yes?
We didn't discuss it, but I haven't made the connection. Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, they still didn't get much devotional service, devotional credit, nothing. Piety, yes. But then Shishupal, he did get from where?
But he was always chanting the Lord's glories. That's all he did.
But where is this coming from? Not this being Ravana before.
I don't know, I remember the Acharyas were discussing that point.
Krishna's special attractiveness.
Yeah, that was the point. Is they weren't specifically attracted. Because the difference is they were, the Acharyas are bringing out, they're dealing with Nrisimhadev and Ram. But Shishupal is dealing with Krishna. So Krishna, it being all attractive, then becomes is attracting him. So because of that, then he gets liberated. While Nrisimhadev and Ram, they're not attracting, so therefore there's not... Unless you're attracted, you won't get liberated. So that's why then Krishna is in the superior position. Because Krishna is all attractive. Krishna means the all attractive. And then because of that, then Krishna, meaning stopping the repetition of birth and death. So only Krishna, who's all attractive, who can track the whole cosmos, he can stop birth and death.
It's not coming from them,
it's coming from Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. So therefore, we can say, no, but you know, Nrisimhadev's attractive, but that's because Nrisimhadev is Krishna, but he's only manifesting certain qualities. So it's the Krishna as that's attractive. Is that... Yes.
And also they were Jai Vijay, right? So that was the...
Yeah. Yeah,
the way back.
That was the last, so then that was the third, so then it worked out. You know, Krishna accomplishes many things. Because otherwise, why? You know, because he said three, so then that three means it would have to end with Krishna. So then, like that. Okay. The universe is thus a form of Vasudeva. It means it's a form. It's not a form of Vasudeva as Bhagavan. It's a form of Vasudeva as Brahman. Because it's his energies. Right? Because the Jiva is energy of the Lord, and Maya is an energy of the Lord. So that's what's going on. That's where the transformation is happening. So, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the same point. The phenomenal world is impersonally the representation of Vasudeva because the ingredients of its creation, their interaction, and the enjoyer of the resultant action, the living being, are all produced by the external and internal energies of Lord Krishna. Right? So the primary is the internal, the phenomena is the external, the secondary. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7, 4 through 5, footnote 20. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there's another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Right? So there, so these are the two. There's Maya and there's the Jiva. So now within Maya, then the points are the elements, the karma, and kala. Right? Then you have and the modes of nature, like that. So then the living entity is the enjoyer, and because of their moves, Subhava, then the modes of nature, then through kala and arranger. So this is what's going on. So the jiva is, there is no breakdown of them as such in this necessity. And so then in Maya has these elements. So then these are what we're talking about. When we're talking about material energy, material life, entanglement, we're talking about these two. Right? Prakriti, Purusha and Prakriti. It means Purusha being the jiva, Prakriti being material energy. Right? But they're both Prakriti of the Supreme Purusha. We're only Purusha in name only. Because right? We're not actually, one really enjoying, or two making the arrangements for the enjoyment. But, it works. The ingredients, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, as well as the conception of material identity, intelligence, and the mind, are produced of the material energy of the Lord. The living entity who enjoys the interaction of the above growths, because that's why even the Svabhava is produced by the modes. Though the jiva is the one that has it, it's actually a product of Maya. Because if you have a Svabhava of I'm servant of Krishna, you're not involved in, there is no karma, there is no time. Right? You're just engaged in devotional service.
Well, when you become liberated, then Svabhava changes?
Means then it's real Svabhava, so then you're dealing with Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya. But the mechanics are the same. So, in other words, it's like this. You have Yoga Maya as the person and Mahamaya as the reflection. Right? And so if you're with the person, then the arrangements are with the person. If you're in the reflection, then the arrangements are with the reflection. But still, it goes according to the same mechanics. So material nature still functions the way it does, under the modes and everything, and by Svabhava of the jiva. But if the Svabhava is servant of Krishna, then the modes you're dealing with pure goodness, so then everything else will fall in line with pure goodness, and then it'll be arranged like that. So it's Yoga Maya's arranging, but it's being taken care of by your office of Mahamaya. Like that. Because, she does.
Maya, so when Vishnu glances over material nature, then the jiva, kala, and karma, they come together. Is that correct?
No, jiva, kala, and false ego, false identity.
And then karma created.
Yes.
Then later.
Yes, because that's dependent upon, the karma is dependent upon the jiva doing something. Like that, you don't do something, it doesn't work. So that element of karma mimamsa, that unless I do, I don't get the results, is true. But at the same time, is that's not that I'm in control of it. No, there's someone else in control of it. That's why when I do, let's say I do the right activity, but it doesn't work. Probably gives the example of two people with exactly the same disease go in and are, taken care of by the doctor. One lives, one dies. Treatment was the same, everything was the same, but what's the difference? It's karma. Right? So that's the will of the Lord. So it's not that my endeavor is the supreme. That's the problem. It's the karma mimamsa, it's my endeavor is the supreme. But it's not. There's more at hand than goes on here. So that's the difficulty. Yes.
So then jiva carries the desire from previous experience.
From previous, but even if it's the first experience, it's I'm the controller and enjoyer. Therefore, they don't have experience of material energy, so they come in as Brahma. And Brahma doesn't have any experience. Therefore, he doesn't know what to do.
Right?
So then by his tapa, then he it's revealed to him what to do. And then he identifies as Brahma, as the creator, and then he gets involved. Now, you know, yeah. Does that make sense? But now, if he goes back to Godhead, okay, done. But if he doesn't, then the next time, then it's based on your previous. So then, now it's a matter of, now, which of the 8,400,000 and which of the 14 planetary systems and which situation within that, all these different things, that's then according to the previous. Then you'll be situated. Is that, yes?
It's going to refer to a discussion we had in Jagadharma. What is the element which instigates our, let's say, attraction to Krishna? And that was referred to a specific identity which touches bhakti, and then it just moves on.
Yes.
So I was, my doubt was, is this identity what it generates the original sabhava, and that is covered when you touch by this material sabhava, which, and then it's perverted?
You could say it's covered, because the natural is I'm servant of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? And the, so, and the results, and my endeavors generate a result that's pleasing to Krishna. That's the natural. Then we cover that by, or we get covered by, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So once that's there, then you're dealing with Mahamaya instead of Yogamaya. So you're getting a material result. Does that make sense?
Okay. So the question then I think would be, so the Swabha would be the generic I'm serving, but the specific, like I'm Mother Yashoda, so I'm...
Yes. So that's why it was in Jiva Dharma was explaining that in the five stages of Bhava Bhakti, that the first is developing the generic attitude of servitorship of that particular realm. There's a generic mood of service in Braj. There's a generic mood in Dwarka. There's a generic mood in like this. Having gained that, then the specific has meaning. Because if we were going to say start with specific, how does your specific match with everybody else? And how is Braj going to work nicely? You know, that's the whole point. It's going to work nicely because you're the generic mood you've already accepted. Now you're dealing with the detail, right? And so then, with that, because otherwise then you have the detail. So then it's, if it's not, then if you start with the specific, how does that all match? Where do you start? Because the specifics is very specific. Okay, generic, you're in Braj. Then in Braj, then you're going to be in the, let's say, parental rasa. So does that mean you're hanging out with Mother Jashoda or with Kirtida? Right? They're both going to have a relationship. They're best friends. But still, whose group are you hanging out with? And so then if you're with that, then are you more intimate? You're more distant? What do you get involved with? Are you the ones that just sit around and talk about how great Krishna is or how great Radharani is? Or are you one of the ones that's there and around when, you know, they're changing diapers and doing stuff like that? You know what I'm saying? So how do you start with that? You understand? So logically, it's the wrong place to start. So the Sahaja idea, I'll start there, is totally bogus. It's not scientific. Starting with the generic of pure unalloyed devotion as the mood of Braj, and that's what we want, the newest devotee can relate to that. Even someone who's not yet developed Shraddha can relate with that. So that's how it starts. Then it goes into detail, but until you're liberated, what's the meaning? That's why it says Brahma. He had an understanding, but it didn't say it was fully revealed. It said he understood himself as a maidservant. But he doesn't know detail. So what does that mean? So he understands I'm servant of Krishna. You know, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. So that's there. Now and then a general idea, but not specific. So that's the whole point, is that the generic is Braj. Then there's specific rasa. Then there's details within the rasa. So until it's details of the rasa, it's not Saru. You know what I'm saying? So we're not dealing with, it's not, it doesn't hit the, it, people don't have to worry about alarm bells. You're not dealing with the details. If someone's talking details, then you can start to be worried about it. But if there's no details, then what's the thing, you know? You know, someone thinks, you know, the cowherd boys sound great, or the gopis sound great, or, you know, I want to be a cow. You know, it's like that. Great. But the point is that service is, you're inspired by the service that those devotees do. You're not thinking about doing it yourself. So you're starting from there and working. The ingredients, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, as well as the conception of material identity, intelligence, and the mind, are produced by the external energy of the Lord. The living entity who enjoys the interaction of the above gross and subtle ingredients, as set up by the eternal time, is an offshoot of internal potency, with freedom to remain either in the material world or in the spiritual world. So that's, we have that freedom because we're an offshoot of the internal. But we're expanding from the internal, as the external energy is expanding from internal. So we can either work on the eternal platform or on that expanded platform. Right? Because in the material world, we refer to the living entity as the jiva. In the spiritual world, they don't make a distinction. You know, you don't have internal potency devotees and jiva devotees. They don't make that distinction. So that's the thing. It's just, if you're going to deal on that external, then you're going to work with the external, because both are expansions. Or you can work with the original. So that's the... So the material identity, but then the false ego, that potency is there. That comes. So that's Shiva. So that's why the glance is Shiva. Because it's false ego that carries one into the material world. That's why pride then is your problem. Because that's what starts, that's the catalyst of everything. In other words, whatever you have, as soon as you add false ego to it, then it becomes more gross, right? And then I add it again, it becomes the next gross element. So if I had a situation and I add my pride to it, it becomes more gross.
Pride is equivalent with false ego?
Basically, because you're thinking, I did this.
But pride is pride and false ego is more inclusive?
Yeah, we would say, probably we could say pride could be a quality within that, within the identity. Because everything, you know, comes, everything's expanded from something, you know, all these qualities. So you have, like, there you have the sthi bhavas, so you have these five main, but then from that you can get secondary rasas, which are based on those. You know, and then you have, based on that, then the situations and elements that are and qualities that inspire you in that rasa. Right? Then there's going to be the mental moods that are going to come from that, and that will create the, and that can create subtle physical changes and very obvious physical changes. So that way, then all the bhavas come from that set. So that means everything has to expand. So there must, you know, so there's love, and then what form that takes, it will go. So here, love's transformed into lust, so then from that expands everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So on the descent of the jiva, does he always take the position of the Brahma as the first, or does he ever bypass and goes deeper into the material?
No, because how would you bypass? You know, I mean, in other words, you only bypass if something's wrong.
Maybe my material covering is so deep.
No, but how can it be so deep? What's your experience? Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the spiritual energy, but you're not looking at it as spiritual energy, as the Lord's energy. You're looking at it as opportunities for your own enjoyment. Right? So that's material. So the consciousness is material, but what you're working with is not. You're still working with spiritual. But what's your experience? You know what I'm saying? My house, my family. You know, it's not really well supported. You know what I'm saying? You know, in other words, material view does not come with a great, you know, how you say, material support package, you know, like that. As soon as you get the material, then all these other people come in and, you know, kind of cultivate it. No, it's just you're on your own. So then, naturally, then you come to the material world. And so Brahma is your first position, because being, you know, coming from the spiritual world, your piety is much greater than anyone in the material world. So the only position you could take is Brahma, who is the most pious living entity. So that is the only option. Right? And then, you know, then it's downhill from there. Is that?
Yeah. Is it totally wrong to consider the jiva the doer because...
Is it totally wrong to consider the jiva the doer?
Because Vedanta Sutra says that there's three factors of action.
No, that's there, but what's your purpose? Means, see, this is a question leading to the next question. Mm. What's the next question? No, but you're the one that's asking. What's the reason for wanting to know if he's the doer or not?
Because you mentioned that it's pride to think you're a doer.
Yes, because it's not the position that they're doer. They're instrument. Is instrument doing something? Mm. But at the same time, is the spoon involved in the cooking process?
Yes.
But is the spoon actually doing the cooking?
No.
That's how we're the doer.
By being a spoon.
Yes, by being a spoon. That make sense?
Yeah. Or a bowl.
Hmm?
Or a bowl.
Or a bowl.
From earlier in the class. Spoon and bowl.
Yeah, yeah. No, they go together. Yeah.
But you can be proud of being a nice spoon.
Yes, but then what? Whose spoon are you? You know, saying the point is whose spoon? You're proud of being a great spoon. Okay, great. But whose spoon are you?
Krishna.
Yeah, you're Krishna's spoon. Like Hanuman, he's proud. He's going over there and burning Lanka. He's destroying the Ashoka Garden. Ravana, you know, was probably not as disturbed that Sita, you know, about the position of, you know, what happened with Sita, as he destroyed the Ashok Vam. Because that was, he built it himself. It was like, you know, it was like perfect. And no one has ever been able to do that. And here, a monkey did that. You know, I'm saying, you know, Ravana is not on the human platform. That's why he wasn't worried about humans coming and attacking him. You know, he's on the celestial platform. And so are his associates. So, a monkey? You know? So that's the whole point. But he did that in his pride. That, you know, these are Ram's enemies, so therefore they're my enemies. And so then, you know, we're going to show them, you know, our prowess, you know, and that's the point. I'm a monkey, I can do this. What do you think my master's going to do? You know? So therefore, it works. It has a glory if it's connected too. You know, just like, you know, the dog is considered glorious because of having this attitude and connection with the master. But if he has this attitude and he has no master, then that's when you know, call the pound. You finish this, sir? Okay, no. Okay, so we'll stop.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura.